Hello, hello. Welcome to Pilled, where you can join the masses of crypto pilled degens. And if you're not one of them, well, just you wait. I'm your host, Anisha Sankarneni, and this is Pilled. Good morning, or GM, like we say in Web3. We're doing things a little bit differently today, and we have on Chase Chapman to talk about all things DAO. I decided to split our deep dive into two parts to make episodes a little bit shorter and hopefully a little bit more digestible. Today, we'll be doing a quick intro on who exactly Chase is, a mini primer on what a DAO is, which if you listen to episode one with Diana Chen, you should already be an expert. We're going to touch on how DAOs are used in our present day lexicon, some mental models to think about when we think about DAO structure, what a flat structure is, and what it means for an organization to be leaderful. I know that was a lot, but don't worry, we're going to break everything down for you. I'm also going to be throwing in some audio bookmarks for you to be able to jump from section to section in the show notes if that's something you'd like to do. And with all that being said, let's get started. Hello, Chase. Thank you for coming on today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. So for those of you that don't know Chase, I'm going to have her give a little bit of background.
Yes. So I got into crypto in 2018, so I've been in the space for a while, but really started diving into crypto culture and being really crypto native and taking part in DAOs more recently. So I have a company called Decentology that I co-founded that now I'm doing a little bit more of strategic advising on from the DAO side, and I'm diving more into the DAO ecosystem in general. So I'm a contributor to Index Co-op. I co-lead a working group there. I also contribute to Forefront, and I'm helping Rabbit Hole set up their DAO. So I'm working in a bunch of different DAOs, but having a lot of fun doing it.
That's super exciting. I wanted to ask you, what was your moment of you feeling, hey, this is the moment I was crypto-pilled?
Yeah, so actually, I was working in marketing doing data analytics, and we had all these challenges with data provenance where a company would have different departments that owned data sets from customers that they didn't want to share. And that was a foundation for me thinking about who owns data, but also thinking about the fact that these companies owned a lot of customer data, but actually customers were never paid for it. And so I felt that was messed up and ended up falling down the crypto rabbit hole from that perspective. And when I realized that there were these shared ledgers, I think it's a boomer term now, but shared databases that everyone was running with public data, that sort of changed things for me. And ever since then, I've been obsessed with all the different things that you can build on top of crypto.
That's exciting. Thank you for sharing. I think it's so interesting to hear of different people's stories about what made crypto click for them and really made them focus on crypto after that. I know that right now, as you mentioned earlier, you are focusing a lot of your time and effort in DAOs. So just to preface it for anyone who might not be familiar with the term or might not know too much about DAOs, what does DAO stand for, and what would a very brief definition of a DAO be before we jump into things a little more?
Yeah, so a DAO is just a decentralized autonomous organization. Basically, what that means is it's an organization where anyone can step up and do anything. I like to think that autonomy is at the individual level. You can think of it like a flat organization or a teal organization where the people who are creating value within that organization actually own it and are able to govern it.
That's a great definition. So I think it's interesting to see right now what the DAO landscape looks like. There's so many new DAOs being propped up for different things. There have been investment DAOs. There's DAOs that are just social fun clubs or communities almost. There are DAOs that almost function as communities and companies even. And I think it's interesting to hear different people's perspectives on what that DAO landscape looks like. Having been a contributor in a number of DAOs and being in the space for a while, how would you categorize that landscape right now or the different types of DAOs? What do you think the landscape of DAOs looks like right now?
I think it's a really interesting question in that DAOs are a way of organizing. And so we love to categorize them. But the reality is that any group that comes together is a DAO. So I think it's really interesting when we think about how we put these things into categories, I would do it probably like how you would put companies into categories where, yeah, you have investment DAOs, but you also have media DAOs. Where I think things get interesting is as people get more comfortable with these, what we're probably going to start doing is spinning up things that look a lot like DAOs, but that are much less formal. A good example of this would be a friend and I spun up a multi-sig, which is, for anyone who doesn't know, basically like a shared wallet. And so we use that to just buy into NFTs and stake on Olympus and random stuff together. And you could consider that a DAO. Like I had Cooper on my podcast, Cooper Turley, and I said, is this a DAO? And he said, yeah, I think that's absolutely a DAO. And so it's interesting because we like to categorize DAOs as these specific types of entities. But I actually think a DAO is pretty much anything where you have people who are creating value together who own a share and can help govern that value creation, whether that be through investing, through building, through creating media. And so to me, I think DAOs are much more of a mechanism than they are a thing. And I'm not even sure that the term DAO is going to end up staying in our lexicon in crypto. We'll see. But that's how I think about it, is really like a mechanism rather than different categories, because you could do pretty much anything with a DAO. And as we get more comfortable, that's probably going to expand even further.
I love that you just suggested that we might not have DAO as a term in our lexicon in the near future, because I've had thoughts about that too, since there's so many, as you mentioned, different variations of DAOs. Some of them are group chats, some of them are Discord communities, some have wallets, some don't, you know, some are there for a month, a week, some of them are, you know, planning to be around forever. And it's really hard to define all of those in a really small box when they vary so much, and they should vary so much. So I agree with you there. I think that there are seemingly a few defining characteristics of DAOs when it comes to shared ownership, or many of them do have a multi-sig wallet if they have a wallet or a treasury associated with them. There's the concept of governance in DAOs, and I think that's pretty central to DAOs when most people think of them as a type of structure. I have a lot of questions that I'd love for us to dive deeper into, and I would love to get your thoughts on them, not from a prescriptive point of view, but just more of a thoughtful discussion around what DAOs look like right now, maybe some things that we can improve as we move forward with DAOs or similar such communities, and maybe some areas that we need to focus on filling the gaps. Does that sound good?
I love it. And I will say as a side note, I think people used to say that NFT wouldn't be the term that we use for NFTs. I think what's interesting about the DAO term when we think about it is, to your point about foundations that are common across most DAOs, we could use the term DAO and it might evolve to be a way that we differentiate between organizations that are owned by the people who create value and those that aren't. So I don't know if the term DAO will stick around, but I think it will be interesting to watch how we talk about these things change. But yes, very down to explore this in a non-prescriptive way. I think that's the best way to be talking about DAOs.
Yes, and I love having these discussions. And to your point right there, I think it's going to be super interesting to watch not only these terms potentially change over the course of time, but just how our conversations evolve. If we're giving NFTs a focus right now, if we think about how NFTs were talked about even as a use case, or what an NFT even is and how it could be useful 6 months ago or a year ago, if anyone were to go listen to those conversations at this point in time, they just are so wildly different. And I can't wait to see what happens with DAOs. So let's jump into it. One thing that I've been thinking a lot about is DAOs are oftentimes noted to have a flat structure, or they're supposed to try to have as flat of a structure as possible. And I'm curious to know why that's so important, and also whether it's actually feasible to have a flat structure. So we can address those one by one, but would love your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So when you think about DAOs, I think the first important level setting is to think about mental models for DAOs, because it's really hard to talk and think about them if you don't have something to relate it back to. So my favorite way to think about DAOs is a few sort of three core different things. The first is DAOs as companies. There are lots of different organizations that would traditionally have been companies that are now DAOs. Index Co-op is a perfect example of this. They're building index products just like BlackRock, but for crypto. They could be a company, but instead they're a DAO. And we can talk about what that means. But essentially, they have these teams of people. They have a growth team, which is marketing. They have an engineering team. And so they're called working groups, but they're basically what a company would traditionally have. So that's the first mental model. The second mental model is co-ops, which borrow from a lot of the traditional structures that companies use, but they're worker owned. And so that completely changes the power dynamic when you think about traditionally having a CEO who make way too many factors more than the average employee at a company. And you have this very hierarchical structure. Instead, you empower employees to own the organization. And so that's powerful for a bunch of different reasons. The third mental model that I like to use is actually networks, which is basically this idea that just like the way that capitalism uses individuals to, for example, do price discovery, where whether or not you buy a gallon of milk is actually helping when you have everyone deciding whether or not they want to buy a gallon of milk for $2. If everyone says no, then it turns out the milk needs to be cheaper. And so you have this like emergent property of price out of a capitalistic market that makes all these decisions. And if you look at networks, they have a very similar mechanism whereby individual nodes in the system actually allow information to travel through and all these different things that creates an emergent property that you never would have been able to have otherwise. If you look at Ethereum as a network, this is an example of emergent properties of security and having the shared ledger. But you can also think about protocols like TCP/IP, which allow you to have information transacting, and you can build on top of that. So you have all these different types of networks. I think the ultimate evolution of DAOs is networks. And so when you think about all of these different aspects of how DAOs operate, I think that's the foundation. Now, what was the question that you asked? Because I wanted to set that before we answer that question.
No, I think that's great to have mental models. And I love having something initially set as the groundwork and then having something to go back and refer to. I think it makes it that much easier to understand what we're trying to convey. So my question was, DAOs are oftentimes supposed to have this quote unquote flat structure, right?
Oh, yes.
Oftentimes in regular companies, you have this hierarchical structure where there's a CEO at the top, you have a lot of bosses, and then you have the worker bees. And DAOs often say, hey, we're in this thing together. We have this shared ownership. We have an entirely flat structure. My concern with that is that really feasible when you may have a DAO that's trying to accomplish a very specific set of goals or execute on certain things? This can vary from DAO to DAO. Maybe there is some amount of hierarchy that's necessary. Maybe it's possible to have an entirely flat structure. And I think this is going to vary greatly between DAO and what the purpose of that DAO is. But just as a blanket statement, people often say DAOs are supposed to be a flat structure. And yeah, I'm trying to see, does there need to be a little bit of pushback?
So in terms of the way that we think about hierarchy, I think that's at the foundation of this question around what a flat structure means. I think when we think about goals and objectives and longer term things to work toward, DAOs can set that with a flat structure, and they have. So when you think about shared context, that's really important. And I think that those are the types of things that traditionally are coming top down to an organization. Instead, in a flat structure, you actually have people in the community who emerge and say, hey, we should probably be thinking about where we're going 6 months from now and 6 years from now so that we can plan accordingly. And so rather than having the top down assertion of what a DAO should be doing, people emerge out of the community and objectives emerge and people decide on them. And so I think that's important to first acknowledge, because traditionally, I think when people think about flat structures, they're like, there's no one telling anyone what to do and there's no sense of who to listen to.
Exactly.
But the reality is that often people self-organize and recognize the need for goals and long-term thinking. And then the community decides together on what they actually want to be working towards. So I think that's important. I think the other thing that's really interesting is that when you think about hierarchy in general and you think about why something like a flat structure is so valuable, it's actually that hierarchies are good at allocating resources when you essentially have a situation where you don't need to develop really complex solutions and you don't need this element of emergence that's required to solve really complex problems. Because the problem with hierarchies is that the people, the system cannot be more complex than the people at the top because mm-hmm. those are the ones telling everyone what to do. But if you right. want a really complex and sophisticated solution, which is required for something like rebuilding financial systems, you need something that's actually decentralized so that you have this property whereby just like market prices, you have something that's able to emerge out of every individual making a decision. Nature is very similar. You don't have in nature hierarchies saying here's what should happen to these certain types of species and down. You have this emergent property of evolution. And so I think DAOs take on a very similar type of model. And that's really the benefit of having a flat organization. But to your point, you do need people to emerge that set goals and objectives. Otherwise, you end aimless and you cannot do super well. And also, to be fair, flat organizations don't mean that no one's accountable or quote unquote in charge. It means that they have the buy-in from the community, have been chosen to lead and be accountable. And so that's another thing is that DAOs are not leaderless, they're leaderful. I did not make that up. I don't know who said this on Twitter first, but people say this all the time, which is that you should have lots of leaders emerge, not none. And that's a really important aspect too, I think.
Okay, so it does sound like maybe the definition of what a flat structure means is really important to acknowledge, where maybe you have leaders or people who self-organize kind of find their way to the top, and they do also need to have that buy-in from the community to say, hey, we want you to be the leader, we want you to help set goals for the future and such. And I think maybe this is one of those things that different DAOs end up organizing in different ways, and that plays out differently among different DAOs. I'm curious to see whether when such leaders in a leaderful community within a DAO do even self-organize, that means there is going to be some amount of, whether we call it hierarchy or not, there might be some people that are quote unquote in charge of certain proposals, or, you know, there might be leaders for a given working group. And that kind of structure might look a little bit closer to what a org structure in a company looks like.
I think what's interesting about a DAO that's subtle is rather than being in charge of, leaders are accountable for. And I think that's a subtle but important difference in that being accountable for something and accountable for an outcome means that you're serving the community and serving your team on something that has been determined by the community or whatever, versus deciding that outcome as a manager and saying, this is what we're going to do because I want to do it. And so I think it's a shift in how we think about leadership. And there are a lot of organizations that have taken on this type of model where you have leaders that are more servant leaders. But the problem is that it was never really underwritten by true ownership. It was always mm-hmm. just this quote unquote culture or feeling of ownership, but never actual ownership. And so I think that it's already a shift that we're seeing in the culture of a lot of companies, but now it's happening and it's actually being supported by true ownership. So I do think it's how things play out, but it's much less hierarchy in terms of telling people what to do and a lot more of trying to be a leader who supports people in what they think is right to do and encouraging them to go off and do that. And that's a really big difference when you think about traditional right. companies and traditional hierarchies. The military Absolutely. Is a perfect example of this that's much more strict and hierarchical.
Right. So there's a little bit of a different framing there.
We learned so much about DAO structure today, specifically what mental models to use when it comes to thinking about how a DAO is structured and what it means for an organization like a DAO to be flat rather than hierarchical, as we see in most large companies today. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a place for leadership in DAOs, but rather that leaders emerge and take on a role of being part of a leaderful organization. They take on responsibilities and are ideally supported by the community of the DAO at large. As promised, there is a part 2 of DAO Central with Chase. Tune in for part two dropping soon, where we'll touch on moderation and discourse in DAOs today, what onboarding and offboarding look like for contributors, and finally, how do people get paid and fairly compensated in DAOs? Thank you for listening, and hope you tune in next time.